Genesis chapter 17, we will start reading at verse 15. And let us stand when God speaks to us from His Word. Then God said to Abram, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. And then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abram said to God, "Who, that Ishmael might live before thee?" But God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you as at this season next year." And when he finished talking with him, God went up from Abram. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day as God had said to him. Now Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the very same day, Abram was circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, and all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. So far, our scripture reading. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ, one commentator writes about a Chinese evangelist, Leland Wong, who had three Bible verses printed on the letterhead that he used to do his correspondation. Joshua 10:13, 2 Kings 6:6, and Psalm 48:14. And then he wrote remarks about it. Three remarks: the sun stood still, the iron did float, this God is our God. The sun stood still, the iron did float, this God is our God. And of course, the reason he did put this information on his letterhead was to be reminded about the greatness of this God that he was proclaiming. This was there to be reminded that we actually believe in a God who can accomplish the unachievable. He's the Almighty God that can do the impossible. Now, we have seen this was indeed the main lesson that God was teaching Abram right from the beginning of this chapter. And this is also what we're reminded of here today. God is a God who keeps his promises even if it seems unachievable. God made Abram wait now 25 years until he was 99 and Sarah 89. And then God states, I will give you that promised son with Sarah. Now, through the years of waiting, Abram was trained. He was trained to trust in God's word. We have seen God view our souls that last an eternity as much more important than the comforts of this world and of this body. This world and our comfort here is important, but much more important is our soul that would be in eternity with him. And so often he trains us to maturity through hardships in this life. Abram's name has been changed to remind him that he will be a father of a multitude. And now it was time for the change of the name of Sarai. Sarai means princess. She was named Sarai. She was named princess because she was her daddy's princess. Sarah, the new spelling with an H, also means princess. And you may say, well, what's the big deal? Her name changed, didn't change. It's still the same. But now it had a complete different meaning. Sarah will be the mother of kings. Princesses have kings in their bloodlines. You see, she will not only have a baby as a very old woman, but the sacred royal kingdom would carry Sarah's blood in their bodies. Even the Messiah, King Jesus, would be born from Sarah's bloodline. You see, princes now have a completely different connotation. It's not daddy's princess anymore. Now it's God's princess. And therefore, it was very fitting to change her name. Look at verse 16. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Just think about these promises just for a moment. What would you say if I go up to an 89-year-old woman and say, within the next year, you will have a baby? You would probably say, this man have a problem. He needs to go for counseling. What God told Abram and Sarah was hard to believe. We need to realize this. This was hard to believe. Abram was 99 years old at the time of these words. But what we need to remember is it's not the next door neighbor that is telling Abram this. This is the God who created the whole creation out of nothing. This was the God that just spoke and everything was there. This is the God who cannot lie and who's able to do the impossible. So we see Abram's reaction in verse 17. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Now Abram is giving us some confusing signals here. The promise was so incredibly great that Abram fell on his face on the ground before the Lord. That is an act of worship. Fell down before the Lord. And yet as he fell to the ground to worship God, he burst out in laughter. Abram's faith, we need to understand, was here tested to the limits. I think John Calvin is very helpful on this when he says, not that he either ridiculed the promise of God or treated it as a fable or rejected it altogether, but this often happens when the things occur which are least expected, partly lifted up with joy, partly carried out of himself with wonder, he burst out in laughter. Abram believed God. We've already saw that from Paul's testimony. And so we also see here, God does not rebuke Abram. If this was a laughter of unbelief, God would have rebuked Abram. Like we see here in the next chapter, in chapter 18, we will see that Sarah burst out in laughter in unbelief, and God rebukes her. Abram's laughter was an expression not of unbelief, but of joy. Let us not judge Abram for his laughter. It's in Romans chapter 4, in verses 18 through 21, Paul is speaking of Abram, and he says that Abram believed God. So this is not a laughter of unbelief. He humbly bows before God, and he can't help but being amazed by this promise, and that makes him laugh. It was a laughter of joy. My brothers and sisters, I see so often that we pray for somebody sick, maybe even somebody with cancer, and we pray, Lord, if it's your will, heal this person. But then we learn that the cancer has spread, and a doctor said this person can live so many or so many months. And suddenly our prayers change to, Lord, comfort this person. It's as if we rather believe what the doctor says and realize, well, maybe this is just beyond God. And so we change our prayers. Let us remember, even when a person receives such a bad news, it's still not beyond God's power. He is the one that does the impossible. Yeah, we may pray for comfort. That person needs comfort. But we should never think that anything is beyond what God can do. God is not bound by the laws of nature. One thing we should learn from this passage is that our God is truly almighty. You remember he introduced himself in the beginning of this chapter as El Shaddai. He is indeed El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. As Jeremiah 32 verse 27 states, nothing, absolutely nothing is too hard for God to accomplish. Do you sometimes doubt what you read in the Bible? Do you maybe doubt in his promises? Maybe you doubt that a loved one might be saved, or you doubt that the church could be victorious in this world of ours, or maybe you doubt that you could ever be victorious about the sin that you are struggling with in your life. We need to remember that God is Almighty God. He is El Shaddai. He does the impossible. He can accomplish the unachievable. In verse 18, we see, and Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Well, at the same time, Abram was discouraged. He was discouraged, maybe even anxious, that Ishmael should be part of this covenant of grace too. Remember, Ishmael was of his own blood, and he had the thought, but make Ishmael, let him live before you too. Let him be part of this covenant too. It was his own blood. It was his only and his own beloved young boy. The multitude of nations were going to come through the promised son of Sarah, God said. But what about the Ishmaelites? God, would you please include Ishmael too? So Abram is here pleading for Ishmael. Now, what we need to consider here is this is a wonderful example Abram is setting before us as Christian parents to plead before God for the salvation of our covenantal children. As we've seen earlier, the covenantal children are included in the covenant people. They're part of that people. They carry that mark. But it does not mean that they're necessarily saved. For the covenant parents, it comes with several obligations. As we've seen earlier in this chapter, when our children receive the mark of the covenant people of God in baptism, parents vow that they will pray with them and pray for them, that they will raise them in a certain way, that they will teach them, they will show them the love of God, they will raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so our vows include that we will pray with and for them. And so my brother and sister, let's do that. Pray every day for your children, even your grown children. Pray the Lord in His sovereignty will show His grace on your children. And even those who are not married yet, who do not have children, pray for those children that the Lord may grant you to have children. And that He will also show His grace upon those children. The most important thing we should strive for in our children is not that they will become professionals or professional athletes or all these things that the world is running after, but that they will faithfully walk with the Lord. And this is what Abram is asking for here. And when salvation and their walk before the Lord is central in our minds about our children, it will have an effect on our decisions on everything concerning them, their schooling and how we raise them, their recreation, their friends that we allow them to spend time with. That should drive those decisions. We want them to have a close walk with the Lord. Abram prayed for the salvation of Ishmael, but God said no. Oh, this must have hurt deeply. Many in the history of the church and some of us have heard that answer. Even though we're so hopeful and for the unbelieving children that we may have, we may see the same answer. And that is hard. But let us remember, even though we have a great hope of salvation for our covenant children, that they will be saved, God never promised that covenantal children will be saved. Covenantal children are saved only by God's grace, and it's according to His sovereign will. But God is still the God of the impossible. Never give up. Never give up on praying for your apostate covenant children. God can use any means in any way to turn back their rebellious hearts. In the case of Ishmael, the answer was no. Look at verse 19. But God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you in this season next year. God responds by saying, no, my grace will fall upon Isaac. Together, Abram, you and Sarah will be the parents of a royal dynasty of kings. Now, the meaning of the name Isaac is laughter. God responds by saying, Abram, when you are 100 years old next year, you and Sarah will have a son. Call him laughter. It is through laughter that I will show mercy and make you a father of a multitude of nations. Galatians chapter 4, in verse 23, also speaks of Ishmael as being born of the flesh. He's born of the flesh. He says he's a son of a slave. But Isaac is born of promise. He is the son of a free woman. Now in chapter 18, we will see how Sarah scoffs at God's promise of a son. And she laughs in unbelief. So even before this son is born, Abram hears from God his name. His name is Laughter. So that every time you call little Isaac, every time you call upon his name, you would remember the joy you had, but you will also remember the doubt that you had. Remember how God's might is stronger than the laws of nature. Remember how God has shown you, Abram, grace, even when you had doubt. You see, brothers and sisters, we're reminded that God's promises and His grace do not depend on human's will. His grace does not depend on what we will and what we do. Salvation is determined by God alone. It's not our wills. It's not our actions. It's Romans chapter 9, verse 16 that tells us, so then, it does not depend on man who wills. What is this? Paul is speaking there in Romans chapter 9 about salvation. He's speaking about election, the doctrine of election. And he says, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. On God who has mercy. My brothers and sisters, every one of us probably at one time or another had to deal with a no answer in our prayers. How did you react to that no? Did you act like Ahab, who wanted another vineyard and couldn't get it and laid on his bed in depression? Or did you, like Abram, bow down in honor of him who knows best and submit it in faith to him? Many of us could testify how that disappointment of a no answer later changed into rejoicing. You may speak of a beautiful young girl that you desired to have a relationship with, but then later she revealed herself as Mrs. Evil. And you say, thank you, that never worked out. Or maybe you speak about a job application that you apply to, and you never got the job, and you had all kinds of hurt and disappointments, but later you learned, I'm so thankful I didn't get that job. But even those no answers we do not understand, one day in heaven I believe we will. We will understand those. God is not only almighty, but he's also all-knowing and a loving God, and he gives to his children always that which is best for our souls. See how Abram received this promise. Now remember, he would have liked this promise to go a different way. He would have liked Ishmael to be included. He would have liked Ishmael to be part of that glorious future. But God said no. Now look at verse 23. Then Abram took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day, as God had said to him. And this is emphasized also again in verse 26. In the very same day, Abram was circumcised and Ishmael, his son. Abram immediately fulfilled the duties that God gave him in his covenant. He circumcised himself. He circumcised every male in his household. We need to take note, my brother and sister, he did not wait till he felt that he was convinced. He did not wait till God was showing him that he's going to be serious about this covenant and God will fulfill his promise on his side. Now, Abram responded in faith. He obeyed. And so as we wait on God for him to fulfill his promises in our lives, by faith, live in obedience. Live in obedience as you're waiting for him to respond in your prayers and his promises. As we anticipate his blessings, following him in obedience every day. It was Richard Phillips, pastor of in South Carolina and Second Press, who highlights three aspects of Abram's obedience, which I believe will be very helpful for us, and I want to appoint you to that. Now remember what we just read here in verse 23 and verse 26 of Abram's immediate response of obedience. First, see how careful Abram was to do exactly what God commanded. If you go back to verse 10 in the same chapter, it says there, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised." Abram did not sit there and come up with his own ideas about how he can twist this to make this more applicable or more pleasant. Abram did exactly what God said. it's reasonable to think that, oh, there were so many complaints in his household about what he was going to do. Not me. I'm a foreign slave. Why would you do this to me? Or, not me, I am too old for this. Abram did exactly what God commanded. My brothers and sisters, this is what believers do. Fathers, when you get tired of the complaints about having devotions every day from your children, or when you get those complaints of, do we really have to go to church again today, to both services, really? Do not give up. Do not give up. Do what God expects of you. Do what He commands. And mothers and children, when you are mocked by your friends for your beliefs and how you live and the things you do that is just different than the rest of society, just continue to do what God commands you. Do not change. Do not soften in your approach of obedience. Just do it. Abram was very careful to do exactly what God commanded. And this is how we should do also our ministry in the church. This is how we should act in our households, at home. Obey with detailed carefulness. The second thing that he mentions of the obedience of Abram here is, Philip says that Abram's obedience was costly. My brothers and sisters, this was not done in convenience. On that day, there was much blood and there was much pain. Ishmael also received circumcision. But later he left the covenant people and Abram already knew it. God said no. Not all who received that sign were saved. My brother and sister, to follow God carefully, we will be ridiculed in society. You may be called a legalist and may be called even much worse names than that. Young men, that may mean give up that young girl that you're pursuing who are not truly in Christ, who is unequally yoked with you. It might mean the businessman needs to give up these practices that he has that would make him extra money, but that's not really ethical or biblical. He may give up on some profits. It will cost us to follow the Lord in obedience. However, we know that God's blessings upon our obedience will be so much sweeter than the cost we pay. The third mark that he mentions of Abram's obedience was that it was done promptly without delay. And as I emphasized it earlier, we looked at verses 23 and verse 26. It was done that very same day. So the question comes up. I hear God's word. I hear a sermon. It applies to me. I read the Bible. I read a book and it applies to something. When should I do it? Now. Immediately. We obey as soon as we receive the command. Do not wait for the next day. Do not wait for the next week. We do it now. Do not wait for a more convenient time. Obey now. So be exact in your obedience just as God commanded. Remember, it might be costly. And do it immediately. As I said that day, as God spoke to Abram, there was much pain and there was much blood, which reminds us of a certain Friday, doesn't it? There was a Friday where there was much blood and much pain as Jesus was nailed to the cross. And Jesus was nailed to the cross to do part of what circumcision is signifying: cleansing by the blood. Jesus' body was cut away for sinful people, his people. Jesus came to save his own people, but it cost him. It cost him pain, it cost him blood to save Abram and Isaac and Jacob and you and I. It costed Jesus his life to save you and me. He was cut off from his father when he cried out, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Why did he do this? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look there at verse 9. Colossians 2:9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the circumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Why the cost of pain, blood? Why the cost of death on the cross? So that we could be circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, a circumcision made in the hearts by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's the answer. He died so that we can live. My brothers and sisters, children, have you received that circumcision of the heart, that circumcision of Christ? Are you a new creation in Christ? And children, I'm not asking this question to ask you, are your parents believers? I'm asking you, have your heart been changed? Have your heart been renewed? You put your faith in Jesus who suffered and died on the cross for you. Because his body was cut off, was cut away from for those who believe in him. So trust in him. Put your faith in him. Obey him, even if it cost you much. Do not wait. Do it now. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for this gospel that is being proclaimed even in the Old Testament. A gospel of the cost of blood, the cost to be cleansed. And Lord, we thank you that we can look at it from this side of history, knowing how Christ came to pay that price. Lord, we praise you, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your long-suffering with us. And we pray as we grow together, Lord, that we will display your holiness more and more. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you would, please open your hymnals at number 565.